In the course of our studies, we have been going along in the book of Acts and watching how things were going by way of learning about the early Christians. We have seen the early Christians as they have come to believe, and we have watched the Christian preachers as they have preached. We've watched the outstanding Christian leaders as they have faced various issues that have come up, and this is going to be our interest as we go along. Now, that will mean that sometimes our studies are rather routine, attention being given to the record as it is recorded of what took place, first this, then that, then the other thing. I'm hopeful as you're listening to it that you will be getting to be more familiar with the Christian way of doing things. You will discover that Christians as a whole have things happening to them very much the same as other people, and the difference lies in the way in which they handle these things. And you will discover again and again that when they handle these things and are in any kind of need or difficulty, they turn to the Lord for help, and the Lord guides them along. Now we're going to be going on with our study in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. If you have your Bibles with you, and we'll open them at chapter 20, and we're going to start at the 13th verse. We're going to read along and see how things are recorded about these early Christians. Of course, our attention is primarily focused upon Paul, because he's the great leader at this time, but we're going to learn about the others too, as Paul teaches and preaches among them. So now we have just finished in our last study the incident when Paul was in Troas, preaching there to the congregation, and on the night before he left, you'll remember, it turned out he preached all night. He preached up till midnight, and then that young man fell out the window, looked like he was going to be dead, but Paul said that he would live, brought him in, and he did revive, and then Paul partook of the Lord's Supper with these people and kept on talking and talked until daybreak about the various things of the gospel. And now we begin at verse 13 to go on with the record. And we went before to ship, that is, we went down to the sea and take these boats, and we were going to go along on our trip. They were heading toward Jerusalem, and sailed unto Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for so he had appointed, minding himself to go afoot. What you really have in that rather old English way of saying things is that Paul had scheduled a long walk for himself, and from one port to another. They would have to sail around by the sea, and Paul would doubtless walk overland, walking over whatever country there was, whatever hills there were, and so on, from one port to the other. And so Paul had scheduled himself this long walk. We have no idea why he did that. It doesn't tell us whether he met anyone there he was going to talk to, or whether Paul did it for his own health's sake. We don't know. But Paul scheduled, or maybe he told it to be alone, to have time for meditation. But he set off for himself a time there, and he took this long walk. And verse 14, and when he met with us at Assos, we took him in and came to Mytilene. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios, or Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trogyllium. And the next day we came to Miletus. Now these various cities will not be meaningful to you. What this amounts to is that the journey went on in a routine way, and the ship stopped at one port, and then another port, and then another port, as the day went by. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus. Now the port, Miletus, is a small place, and it is down by the sea. The city of Ephesus, which is a much larger place, is inland. And Paul had decided not to go to Ephesus. He had determined to sail by Ephesus. He didn't want to go up there because he was afraid of being delayed, because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And now we have the whole point in his urgency. He wanted to get to Jerusalem at the time of Pentecost, because you'll remember Pentecost took place in the city of Jerusalem, and that's where the Holy Spirit came to be in the hearts of the people. And so Paul wanted to be there at the time of Pentecost to share again in the blessing and inspiration of a time of fellowship in remembering what God had done for them. So in verse 17 we read, "And from Miletus, that is this seaport town down by the sea some distance from Ephesus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them." And now notice from verse 18 to 21, you have an unusually fine description of Paul's manner of preaching that we will want to look into. "He said to these elders, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." In this rather long passage from verse 18 to 21, the Apostle Paul outlines the manner of life he had, the customary way of doing things that he had among them. Let's go back over and notice closely, because in watching how the Apostle Paul lived, you and I might get a good idea as to how we might live. Now, you might never be called on to be pastor of a church, but you're living in a home. You have other people around about you. You have children with you. And you're living in that home, have problems that are very similar to the problems of the Apostle Paul. And you will meet them very similarly to the way in which Paul met them. Let's see what he did here. He says in verse 18, "You know after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." Now verse 19, "serving the Lord with all humility of mind." That's put down first. And I think that's so tremendously important for us all. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Now humility is the frame of mind you have, it's the attitude you have when you count that you don't know everything, when you can't do everything. And you just come to the conclusion that so far as you're concerned, that there could be somebody else could help you. There could be somebody else no more than you do. That's what's included in there. And Apostle Paul could say that he, living among these people, served the Lord with all humility of mind. In his attitude, he didn't think himself better than other people. He didn't ask for any special favors. "And with many tears." Now stop and think a minute. Paul served with many tears. Well, wouldn't that mean, among other things, he took things to heart? He really personally concerned. The burdens of the people were his burdens. The frustrations of the people were his frustrations. The heartaches of the people were his heartaches. Now, I know he had frustrations of his own. And he had burdens of his own, and he had heartaches of his own. But he would also have sympathy with them. He served the Lord with all humility of mind, not thinking he was anything extra special, and with many tears, and many, many times he was in trouble, and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, testings which befell him because of people who were opposed to him. Now, by the way, I think it might be well for us time and again to remind ourselves that when you read in the New Testament the word Jews, you should not be so quick to think that this refers to a particular nationality. There was a nationality back in those days called the Jews, but I think it has a broader and a deeper significance than that. Let's put it this way. The name Jew is to go with those people whose parents and whose grandparents, whose families knew something about God. And a child brought up in a Jewish home would be called a Jew, that's true, but he would know something about God. The word Greek is used for pretty near all other people, just like the word Gentile is used for all other people. And there, that means someone who has not been taught about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, hasn't been taught about the God of the Bible. And here, so far as these Jews are concerned, these Jews are people who claim to know the Bible teaching. They claim to know the God of the Bible. And this means to say that Paul had real trouble because of religious people that opposed him, deliberately opposed him. They were lying in wait to catch him if they possibly could. Maliciously they opposed him. Secretly they opposed him. Who were they? Religious people. And this is a way of saying that so far as the gospel is concerned, the gospel is going to have some real trouble and disappointment and frustration foisted upon it from religious people who actually will think that they're doing God a service when they hinder the preaching and teaching of the gospel. Some other time we can put more time into thinking about it, but just now we ought to see it right here, that Paul had this trouble of the many temptations which befell him by the lying in wait of the Jews, religious people. And then he goes on to say, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. When Paul preached, he preached the whole truth, such as what? You must be born again. Your family won't be enough. Just because you belong to a good family, that won't do. Your infant baptism is not enough. You may have been baptized as a child and brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord so far as your family is concerned, but this sort of thing done with you is not enough. Public profession, even, getting up and telling the whole world that you're a Christian is not enough. Giving gifts and giving alms and saying prayers, these things are not enough. And Paul would have preached that way. Paul kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed unto you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. These were the two basic truths of true gospel preaching, and Paul reminded those elders that that's what he had done all the time he was among them. He preached that they should repent with reference to their relationship with God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to understand about this and keep us close to Thyself, that we may seek Thy favor and Thy blessing in everything. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.